When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Been a while since I have been fired up for an NBA game where I didn't have a rooting interest or even a financial interest yet. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. I am Chris Carlin. He is Joseph Fortenbaugh. Joseph, good morning.
Minimum four bets for this game tonight. Minimum that will reveal throughout the course of this show. So we'll get you at least some rooting interest in this game this evening.
Oh, I look forward to that. Meanwhile, before we get to the Sixers tonight hosting the Knicks, first we start with a little bit of breaking news just moments ago.
Carlin versus Joe, breaking news.
This is from Woj, Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo with his calf injury and Damian Lillard with his Achilles injury, both working to try to play and make a return against Indiana game six tonight. Unclear if either will be able to. Bucks, of course, trailing 3-2 in this series. Your response?
Pacers currently an 8.5-point favorite. Interesting situation tonight because if either one of them goes, that's going to move. If both of them goes, I could see that dropping at least 6 points. I wouldn't be surprised if it went off as a pick. The thing is, you can move a spread all you want. What type of impact are you going to get from those two players? I like Indiana here tonight on the team total. I think they score a lot of points against this Milwaukee defense. To be honest, I want to get fired up for this game. I'm fired up about Philadelphia. I'm fired up about the Knicks. Like, I'm focusing a little bit on this matchup. Like, there's could probably be some action. It's a nice little appetizer leading in. But I gotta pace out my emotion today, okay? I'm a glass case of emotion, as they say. It's a very fragile day. There's a lot going on here.
I understand. And by the way, I thought it was cute in there how you slid in the words Milwaukee and defense together.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. We will get to that later on. But we do start with what's going on at the Wells Fargo Center tonight between the Knicks and the Sixers. Remember after game four, Joel Embiid speaking up about that Knicks crowd showing up in Philadelphia.
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
What really intrigues me about this game tonight, Joe, is Embiid himself. And I understand that we have seen him be nowhere near 100% dealing with Bell's palsy, dealing with the knee injury. This is an opportunity tonight and, frankly, the next game in Game 7 for Embiid to regain his place in Philadelphia, so to speak. I live right down the road, and this fan base seems to be split right down the middle on how they feel about him. Half of them are kind of tired of the whole Embiid thing, and half of them recognize what he's doing by going out there. Joe, he goes out there tonight, and I'm not going to say a 50-point game, but if he goes out there tonight and plays exceptionally well, and the Sixers win and they end up winning this series, this is going to erase virtually most of what has happened so far in Philadelphia for Joel Embiid.
No doubt. Win the game. Contribute to a win. Like, we don't need to put a stat on it that's going to be the barometer for fans getting excited. Contribute to a win. The fans will be on your side. Fans are easy to sway. I know this. I am one. Very easy to sway. You don't need to do a whole lot to get them in your corner. You go out there, you play well, you win the game, you're going to put yourself in a situation where everyone comes back. Short-term memory is what we have. And in Philadelphia, I think those comments from Embiid following game four are going to rile up the fan base tonight. I think if you're going to that game tonight, you have an obligation to try to make that place like what you see at Citizens Bank Park in the playoffs when the Phillies are trying to make a run. You got to make it hostile. New York is showing you up. It's not really even about game six. It's about the Philly-New York rivalry that spans across multiple sports. You have an obligation to show up for your city tonight if you are going to be in that arena. Now, for Embiid and what it means for him tonight and what he needs to do, for the first time in 10 years, Joel, This one's not on you. Why don't you go ahead and play best supporting actor to Tyrese Maxey? Because he's having a series that people are never going to forget. He's the guy you want to lean on tonight. He's healthy. He's young. He's fast. He's explosive. This is a series where we are getting into game six. Guys are broken down. The Knicks are only playing seven guys right now. All right? Their bench is extraordinarily thin. Everyone played 50 minutes essentially the other night with the overtime. People are tired. People are worn down. And then there's Tyrese Maxey. He's fresh. He's young. He's fast. Let him be the guy that carries the day. Put it on his shoulders and do everything you can to help that movie win Best Picture. But in the process, go get yourself a Best Supporting Actor nod.
Well, let's be clear. I agree with that premise, especially when it comes to the fourth quarter, because that's where we have seen Embiid, frankly, at his worst.
Yeah.
In this series. The one thing I would point out about Embiid, though, even though he hasn't been anywhere near what he's supposed to be, and this stat came from Zach Lowe this morning on Get Up, that the Sixers with Embiid on the floor are plus 46 in this series. With him off the floor, they are a minus 48. Like, that's not a coincidence to me. His mere presence means something. And then on the flip side, Joe, I'm looking at this morning. If you're going to be that best supporting actor, let's at least stretch ourselves, as they say in the acting industry. Let's get down inside the paint. Because in this series, Embiid has 34 shots in the paint and 67 outside. This can't be just lingering on the outside all night, even if you have a bad wheel in this situation.
To highlight your point on the non-Embiid minutes and what it's meant for the Sixers, those of us who aren't following the show the entire way today, some of the pizza monies we love are the Knicks in the second quarter tonight. You can bet the spread. The Knicks are plus a half point in the second quarter. You can bet that the Knicks win the second quarter by three or more points. That's close to 2-1. I'd play both of those. You know how the second quarter's gone in this series? The Knicks outscored the Sixers 32-17, 30-22, 29-28, 31-28, 33-12. Plus 48 in the second quarter over five games. They've won the second quarter every single time. Now, some might ask, how can that be? Well, Embiid generally plays all 12 minutes of the first quarter, and then they rest him to start the second quarter. That's where the Knicks take advantage. That could be where the game swings tonight. Embiid has not been the MVP Embiid we remember when he's healthy, but he has been good in the series. He's had his moments where he's down to your point, but those moments where he's off the floor, make no mistake about it, those are the most treacherous moments for the Philadelphia 76ers because they have absolutely no answers for anything when he's not on the court.
I am genuinely curious as to how the fans are tonight. And you brought
They'll be
it up
jacked. Briefly. They'll
yeah,
be jacked.
But let me ask you this. Like, I'm going on Vivid Seats earlier to look. There are still plenty of tickets available. And it's not like trying to buy tickets at Madison Square Garden, which is what makes it so much easier for the New York fan to get in. Right now, it's $143 to get in tonight for standing room. What do you anticipate tonight as far as the breakdown? Are we going to see what we saw on Sunday? Or is it going to be a lot more Philadelphia in the building?
No, percentage-wise, it's going to get drowned out. But I think you're going to have the same amount of Knicks. Well, you're probably going to be close to the same amount of Knicks fans.
But you think the Sixers fans will be louder?
I think the Sixers fans will be much louder. I think they've been called out. And I think what Embiid said originally had some people thinking, oh, that's going to upset the fan base. No, I think what Embiid said eventually is going to come back around to help him. It's a call to arms. It's time to step up. Whether you like him or not, if you're going to that game tonight, you have an obligation as a fan to step up and make that place loud. Like, this was a big thing in Golden State when they went from Roracle over in Oakland to Chase Center in San Francisco. People were nervous as to whether or not that Roracle crowd would follow, and it did not. It's a different type of clientele. It's a richer clientele. It's a quieter, more subdued clientele. Roracle, they got after it there. I mean, you'd win a championship, you'd smell it in the air about 3 seconds later. And that's just the tamest part of what was going on at Roracle back in the day. But tonight you're going to hear it. The one thing with Knicks fans over the weekend, that was a weekend. Easier to travel down. No one's working. Tonight you got a Thursday night. So are you going to finish work, travel down to Philly, go to the game, and then travel back and go to work tomorrow? Maybe some people are taking off. I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated, but I do expect orange and blue in the building tonight.
I would absolutely expect it. I would think... I said this the other day. I'd be really ticked off if I were a Sixers fan and I was in the building and that happened. It's going to happen. I don't ever blame anybody for trying to make money off their tickets, especially in those situations. Like, you can pay for a quarter of a season if you have full season tickets off of one playoff game, you know, if you do it right. So I don't blame them for that, but at the same time, it would tick me off if I were a Sixers fan and that happened, and it happened again at that level. I'd be very surprised if it happened at that level tonight.
Can't control that. What you can control is how much noise you're going to make supporting your team. That's what the mindset has to be going in tonight. Force this thing to game seven. That's what you want. You want to make those fans feel miserable on their way out the door to their cars and their long ride home. See you Saturday. That's the motto tonight in Philadelphia. See you Saturday.
Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Well, the Celtics are on to the second round after what turned out to be a pretty easy series against Miami. But was it too easy? It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right, two bets, pretty much the same thing with a little bit of a twist in tonight's Philadelphia-New York matchup. We're going to play the Knicks to win the second quarter. The point spread there is plus a half point. So if it's a tie, hooray, we win the second quarter. If they win the second quarter, boom, we win as well. Now on top of that, we're also going to play the Knicks to win the second quarter by three or more points. That is at a price of plus 180. Here's why. They've won the second quarter in every single game of this series. They are winning the second quarter by an average of about 9 points per game in the second quarter. They're dominating the second quarter. You might ask why. That's generally when Joel Embiid gets his first rest of the game. He tends to play the first 12 minutes, then they yank him, let him sit to start the second quarter, and then the Knicks go absolutely bonkers in that matchup. So tonight we want to take advantage of that. It's a quarter the Knicks have won every single game. We're going to play the Knicks second quarter point spread plus a half point. We're also going to play the Knicks to win the second quarter by three or more points. That's plus 180.
The Celtics win the series 4-1 and once again are on to the second round of the playoffs.
Each team presents a different level of challenge. I think for us, what wins one series, what wins one game is not going to win the next game, is not going to win the next series.
Well, that's all fine and good, and I understand where he's coming from, but there's a lot more to this. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. I understand how easy this was, seemingly, for the Boston Celtics to take care of the Miami Heat. And last night, I mean, every time you turn on the TV, they're up by 25, they're up by 30. Like, it was never, ever within question. You know what it reminded me of? Game 7 last year when the Celtics lost at home that way. It was getting blown out from the get-go. But, Joe, when I look at this and I look going forward, the Celtics are 4-2 against Cleveland and Orlando this year. And in beating the Heat, this was, whether or not we want to call it easy, I think back to game 2, and there was the moment there for the Heat to turn this into a series. And there is something to be said for the Celtics putting their foot down against the Heat culture, all that crap, and making sure, knowing what the narrative is around the Celtics not being able to get it done in the playoffs, that they could put that behind them as quickly as possible and just kind of throw a haymaker to get that over with after they took a jab to the face.
Does it hit the same way with no Jimmy Butler? Because I get the point you're getting at. It's the whole, like, we've had so much trouble with this franchise for so many years. They've been a thorn in our side. They got us last year. Like, to get over that, to exercise those demons, yes, that can go a long way in a team's maturation. Think Michael Jordan and the Detroit Pistons back in his day. But does it diminish it or extinguish it completely when it's not a healthy Heat squad that poses no actual threat whatsoever?
It does not extinguish it completely, and it's not Jordan knocking off the Pistons by any stretch. That's not what this is. It is, okay, they threw a jab. You know what? We're not going to put up with this crap. Okay. You're right. There's no Jimmy Butler. Maybe we'd call it a little bit more meaningful that way, but it was something that had to be done. I wasn't even interested how they were going to respond in game 3 because I knew they'd come out and lay the wood to them. I was interested in how they'd respond to game 4. If they had gone out and laid down a stinker and all of a sudden you've got a Miami Heat team that has no business winning 2 games, then you start to think about things. Then you're in a bit of a squeeze box. This was, no, we are going to smack you around, we are going to get this over with, and we are going to go into the future, and you can take your Heat culture and hit the golf course.
This is such a fascinating team to study, given this specific postseason run, because we haven't really seen anything like this since LeBron James in his 2 iterations with the Cavaliers, where LeBron and the Cavs would absolutely dominate a weak Eastern Conference, and then they would get to the postseason and they'd run into Duncan and the Spurs, or they would run into, in the second iteration, Steph and the Golden State Warriors. And you just wondered, how good was this Cavs team prior to actually facing a team that could throw a legitimate punch? Because they would just roll through the East, not every single year, but for so many years, it was just a foregone conclusion. Like, whether the Cavs were the 1 seed or the 3 seed, no one cared. It didn't matter if they had home court, they were going to handle their business. And that's Boston this season. Boston has no one standing in the way. You want to make a case for the Knicks, but they're in an absolute war right now with Philadelphia, and they're banged up to begin with. Same can be said about Philadelphia. They're just in a war with the Knicks. The Bucks aren't healthy. The Pacers aren't very good defensively. The Magic are, it's too early for them. They're a year away from being a year away. The Cavs are, like, all the way around, we're just waiting for this finals matchup. But I wonder, would the Celtics benefit from some adversity along the way? Could they get better by facing some true test before they go up against Denver or Minnesota or whoever it may be? Case in point, you go back to the aforementioned Warriors, 2014-2015, first year of the dynasty. Hell of a regular season, number 1 seed, dominated in point differential, got to the playoffs, handled business immediately in the opening round. It was either Portland and New Orleans, if I remember correctly. And then the second round, they ran into Memphis. And Memphis jumped up to a 2-1 lead. And the Warriors were in Memphis, and everyone was wondering, is this how it ends? They don't have a counterpunch to what's going on at the Grindhouse right now. And the team went out to this famous barbecue dinner, and they sorted through some things, and they came out and they ran through Memphis the rest of the way, and the rest is history. They faced that adversity, and it led them to a title. Same thing can be said a few years ago when Milwaukee won their first title. If anyone remembers the conference semis, they were down 3-2 against Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, and they came back to win game 6 and game 7. Then they got by Atlanta, and then they were down 0-2 against Phoenix, and they didn't panic. They drew on that adversity. They knew they could come back from it, and they found a way to get it done. We talk about these teams like Kansas City in the NFL. It doesn't matter if they're down. They've been there so many times, they don't get nervous, they don't panic, because they know what to do in that situation. They've done it before, and they've had success. I wonder if Boston could benefit from getting a good, solid punch in the face between now and the finals so that they can test themselves, dig down deep, and then draw on that ultimately when they reach the NBA Finals.
Well, it feels like they're going to be fighting Glass Joe until they get there.
Glass Joe, Von Kaiser, Piston yep. Honda. It's all the guys in the original circuit before you get to the second and third title runs.
Exactly. We're not up to Bald Bull yet. But here's the point here. I get what you're saying. I think with this team in particular, I'm not as worried about it because, first of all, I got to worry about health. I got to worry about what's going on with Porzingis. And is it just this series that he's going to miss? Like, it was up to several games. I don't know what that means exactly.
Minimum of several games was the report.
Minimum
of several games.
Yes. So I don't know what that means. Does that mean that Porzingis would be ready for the conference finals? I don't know the answer to that. So that is the single thing that's most important to me. I'm going to give you one thing, though, from a toughness standpoint that is interesting. Listen to Jason Tatum here on that front and what his definition of toughness is.
No, I think the world we live in, it's got to be something wrong with every team. That's what they like to say. And you can see how talented we are. I think it's lazy or easy to say that, you know, teams can out tough us, right? And I never understood that. Like, what's the definition of tough? Like, having the louder guys on your team, like, that don't make you tough. You know, everybody has their own definition of what toughness is. It's playing the right way, showing up every day to do your job without complaining. Man, I think that's being tough.
Okay, can I just give you a little definition of toughness? And this might be a little bit too real.
All right.
Toughness. Maybe, you know, injure your ankle early in a game 7. You're good enough to play 42 minutes, but your team loses at home to a play-in team that was 3 minutes from elimination in the play-in tournament by 20 points. Maybe.
Pretty specific there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty specific example of toughness.
There wasn't a whole lot of toughness on display that afternoon in Boston, jeez, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe. And here's one thing I like about it. They've added Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is going to add toughness to that team. In this instance, I feel good about that.
All right. I mean, look, I liked his original start to that quote where he was talking about the idea of looking for flaws in every team. That's a good spot to be in. It means you're really good. Like, we don't need to talk about how good you are because it's just so obvious and apparent. I was in the building when you beat Golden State by 50. Like, I know how good you are. So I am going to turn my attention to where the flaws may be because I want to know what it's going to take to beat you. That's how impressed we are with you. Don't take it as a slight. Take it as a compliment. If people are looking for a flaw, it means you're not Detroit. We see the flaws with Detroit. You ever notice? No one's talking about what's wrong with Detroit because it's readily apparent to the naked eye. 6-month-old baby can tell you what's wrong with Detroit right now. So this Pistons team, and here we go. Now we're going to talk Pistons. The Celtics team, they're set. They are absolutely set. They can draw from adversity of the past. I know they're going through a little bit here with Porzingis, but you can't ask for anything more, Carlin, right now. You really can't. They are set for a championship. You don't win this year, it is going to be a major disappointment for that team in that city.
And then there is the Miami Heat. Is this finally the offseason after swinging and missing so many times that a star will take his talents to South Beach? That is after I have this from our friends at Indeed.
It is so corny.
Well, Evan wrote it, but I read it.
Yeah, you
know
no
what? Ultimately, I read it.
Reading it verbatim.
I did. That's on me. It's so easy to blame others. You know that? It really is. It's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. There's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, guys.
All right, there is Udonis Haslam.
I think he called you Owen.
Oh, no.
That's fine. I'll change my name right now. I will change my name legally to Owen if that's what I have to
Owen
do.
Owen Cohen?
Whatever. Well, Evan Cohen combined can be Owen, I guess.
Owen Cohen.
Is that what just happened?
Thank you, Owen.
Tough moment right there. That's a tough one. Owen Cohen, co-host of Unsportsmanlike, joins us right now. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. That was Udonis Haslam. From all accounts, you're a personal hero, correct?
I mean, it was. I mean, yes, Carlin, it is.
Oh, no, so he's out now. He is no longer your personal hero now that he is personally disrespecting
you. I saw him on First Take tonight. He's in. He's definitely it. I love him.
He's very good on First Take. Very smooth, very insightful.
Wow.
Are you threatened, Joe?
No, not at all. My spot's secure. Come on now. Contractually, they need me.
Well, how's it feeling today, Mr. Heat Culture? You want to line up your excuses first? What do you want to do?
Better team won. Better team destroyed the lesser team. The team with better players, and in this specific series, better run, played harder, played better, scored more points, held the opposition to less. There is no excuse to be made. The Boston Celtics are by far the better team than the Miami Heat this year. Carlin, I'm not going to make any excuse. This was a butt-kicking. I'm not going to sit here and argue against anyone that wants to destroy this team this year. The only argument that I would have against anyone would
here
be the
go.
Concept that Heat culture is dead. That is ridiculous. That is like saying to you, a diehard, lifelong Steelers fan, because they haven't won a Super Bowl in a while, the Steelers don't have a way about them. Oh, yes, they do. And I don't care that they haven't won in a while. There's still something about that franchise. That's all I'm saying today. Is that unfair?
No, none of it's unfair, and it's disappointing that you wouldn't go to Jimmy Butler not being in it. I was really looking forward to that. But I would agree with you to say that the whole...
You want me to go there? Because I have that ready to go.
I know you do, and you laid off, and I partially respect you for it, partially. But I would say, I would say this. I don't believe the whole Heat culture thing is dead until Pat Riley or Eric Spoelstra is gone. I don't believe that at all.
That's exactly right. Our producer this morning, Pat Costello, said, what would it take for you to believe that is something that goes away, or that's something that is not there, or that Spoelstra shouldn't be the coach of the team? And you know what I said to him? Death. That's what I believe. They're literally not alive. At that point, we can then, God forbid, have the conversation, did Heat culture go with them?
They are very good at avoiding dysfunction, controversy, things of that nature because of the culture. So if you were to ever see that creep up, it would probably have to occur sometime after the aforementioned death you speak of, because that's how well-run the organization is. I'm curious, as we look ahead to the offseason, and we're very excited on this show, as I'm sure you guys are as well. You know, Woj has been talking about the idea, Wendy's been talking about the idea that there's going to be a transfer portal this summer, that so many guys are going to be on the move. Miami's a very appealing destination. You have no state income tax down there. It's a well-run organization. You guys went after the big fish in Dame Lillard last year. It didn't work out. Does it work out this year? Do you bring in a big name?
Yeah, so Joe, to that point, I wrote down the other day a list of, I'm not going to name them obviously, but 26 all-star caliber players that I could see potentially getting moved this summer. And I only did that because of everything you just said. I would not have done that if Woj and Wendy did not make that allusion to the idea of maybe possibly this being a wild summer. But I'm going to answer your question with a question, okay, for the both of you. Are we sure that Jimmy Butler is back?
No.
Or did he go in a totally different direction altogether?
I could see that as well. I think that's an excellent point because he is getting up there in age. I'm not going to blame this year's injury on it, but this is not an organization that strikes me as a maybe we go in one last hurrah and figure it out later. They're always thinking 2, 3, 5 steps down the chessboard.
He has to be the third best player if he's back. I'd put it that way. Otherwise,
well, then Carlin, there's a problem then, because they need two players at least offensively better than him, because as much as Bam Adebayo is great, he is defense first, despite the fact that he scored 20-plus points in, I believe, the last 10 playoff games. The yeah. way in which he gets to 20 points, this is going to sound weird. It's not backbreaking to the other team. You know, Jamal Murray could have 22, and you feel like, oh, my God, we can't overcome that. Bam could have 24, and it's 6 a quarter for 4 quarters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Evan Cohen with us, of course, of the morning show, unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman. If there is somebody that you have that you want in Miami this year and you think is legitimately possible that they could make a deal for, who would it be?
I mean, Kevin Durant is my first answer to that. But based on the ridiculousness of James Jones and Matt Ishbia yesterday of the Suns, I don't know how to take that, because all of a sudden Kevin Durant, who's a first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer, has not been maximized after 2 titles in Golden State and an MVP with OKC. He's not going to be maximized over the course of time, but that is my one guy that I would say initially. You know, he's flirted with the Heat before, as you guys know. 2016, when he went to the Warriors, he did meet with the Heat. They were part of that group that actually met with Durant in the Hamptons. So that is certainly a name that is my first place that I would go. Also, let me just be clear. I would not want them to trade Jimmy Butler. I'm just saying I don't think necessarily it is off the table that they could do that. But Kevin Durant, Carlin, is definitely the name that I'm bringing up first.
All right, fun little question for you. Your Heater out. Obviously, we all go through these spells. I'm a Sixers fan. They could be out as early as tonight. Then we turn our attention to the rest of the playoffs. Evan Cohen can't root for Miami anymore. Who's his team moving forward?
Yeah, so I picked like a moron the Clippers and the Sixers in the finals. That is as bad of a pick as possibly could be. I mean,
James Harden series. What would make you think the James Harden series is the pick?
Oh, I know. It's so bad. It is so bad. I almost didn't want to tell you because, Joe, you were a part of our show, which we very much appreciate, on Thursday and Friday and on Sportsmanlike in Detroit.
Yeah.
And you were a part of the celebration. I had as good of a draft as anybody. There's an argument. I had a better draft than Caleb Williams with how many things I got right. But I have done
right.
such a horrible job. No, I did. I had a great draft. Other
That's
than getting
because,
kicked out for my interaction with Drake May.
Yeah, but so you didn't get thrown out of the draft. And you also are of the belief that the Penix pick was a great pick. I think some people would disagree with that, but continue.
Okay, yeah, fair. But the reality is, like, I've had such a terrible done such a terrible job picking these teams. I guess the thing that I would say right now is I think everyone's going to end up rooting for Minnesota. Like, I feel like that's going to become America's darling.
No, see, you're doing that neurotic thing you always talk about. Who do you want to root for? Not who is America going to root for. Don't overthink it. Who do you want to root for?
Doing the neurotic thing I've always talked about. I'm 43. I've been neurotic for 44 years somehow. Like, that's who I am. Carlin and I have known each other for more than 20 years. There's never been a point where I have not been neurotic. I literally was neurotic about seeing Carlin in the hotel last week and worrying, is he going to think it was rude that I didn't come by to say hello because I'm trying to catch a flight? Fortenbaugh, you're like acting as if I'm not neurotic at all times. I am.
Well, for,
right,
for the record,
you down.
For the record, here's how that conversation went. I was sitting with Ian Fitzsimmons and Nuno, I believe.
There's a real meeting of the minds.
Yeah, and Evan kind of came over. He's probably about 25 feet away, kind of waved at us and walked away. And I said, you see that? He just blew us off like a piece of lint.
So it landed how you thought it would land.
Okay, that wasn't intentional, but now I'm actually going to – see, this is the problem. I'm now going to go to the place of, oh, man, were they talking about me after I left? Should I have – you know, it's funny. Ian actually reached out to me and said, I'm not wearing glasses. Was that you? I'm like, that's just interesting reach out in that spot. I'm like, you know it was me because you texted me.
No, I said that's exactly what happened, and then you did come over later and say hello, so clearly your neuroses were in full effect.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, as they've been for all 43 years of my life.
Wow.
I have never not been that way. Who am I going to root for? I probably will end up rooting for Denver, because I know this is going to shock you. I love dominance in sports, so I actually like the idea of someone winning back-to-back. I like the idea of then putting Jokic in context against other great centers, other great players in this league. I like the idea of comparing his career to that of anyone not named LeBron and Steph from the last 10 to 15 years and where it kind of ranks. So I probably will find myself front-running in a stunning development, rooting for the Denver Nuggets because I like the idea of dominance in sports.
Evan Cohen, neurotic at conception.
Prior to.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Evan Cohen, co-host of Unsportsmanlike, right here on ESPN Radio with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman. Luka. Yet another incredible display last night. Why aren't we paying more attention to it? We'll discuss next on ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Good play tonight. Game six. Bruins -115 over the Leafs. Do you really need me to break down why? It's the Bruins and it's the Leafs. The Bruins have been very good in this series. And credit to the Leafs facing elimination in Boston. They find a way to get it done in overtime. I think it ends tonight. Austin Matthews has already been ruled out for this one. So pizza money number three, because we gave you the Knicks second quarter plus half a point, as well as the Knicks to win the second quarter by three or more points. We're going to give you a little hockey tonight on the ice. It's the only game in town. Bruins -115 over the Leafs as they close it out in advance to the next round.
The Dallas Mavericks come in and rough up the Clippers in Los Angeles and head home one win away from a trip to the conference semifinals. Dallas 123 and the Clippers 93.
Coming in tonight, we felt well prepared and we were ready for what they were going to throw at us. And we weren't waiting until, you know, the second quarter, third quarter to get ourselves warm. We just started from the tip, so it felt good.
Yeah, I think it was a very big game. And now we got to win one out of two, so we got to go back to Dallas, play the same way. We didn't do nothing yet.
Kesty with the call on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and, of course, on your smart speakers by saying play ESPN Radio. And if you miss any of the show, Conveniently enough, it's available to you wherever you get your podcasts. Carlin versus Joe on all your podcast platforms. Subscribe, rate, and review. You know, it's amazing. I won't lie. Being an East Coast guy, and I know you were out West for a long time, gets very hard to watch these games late at night. And so last night, Luka and the Mavs are taking on the Clippers. I'm trying to stay up late. I'm not going to lie. Fell asleep in the middle of the game. Fell asleep. It happens.
Appreciate the honesty.
Just going to be what it is. I'll watch it again this morning, but have at it. Mavericks absolutely blew the doors off the Clippers.
I want to go back a minute. You watched it this morning?
Yeah.
You woke up and you watched the Clippers and the Mavericks.
What I missed? A lot of the second half, yeah.
Just curious. Continue.
It's called diligence.
I wasn't accusing the big man of being lacking in diligence. I was just curious. I woke up, thought to myself, we'll brush the teeth.
I'm not going to say it was the first thing I did.
Yeah, you brush the teeth, then you put on Clippers Mavericks.
What do you think the priority is in the morning? Let's get a little breakfast in the machine here. That's what it is. And then let's begin our day of preparation for the show by catching a little Clippers Mavericks. And the Mavericks end up winning this game by 30. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about the Mavericks. Joe, are we overlooking the Mavericks right now?
Starting to feel like it a little bit because we all like the hot flavor, right? It's all been about the two teams that have dominated, Denver and Boston, and then on top of it, the hot flavor and the drama. And unfortunately, Dallas provides none of that. Dallas isn't the hot flavor. They don't provide any drama this season. They're not one of the top seeds in either conference. And we've seen them before in the playoffs, and it hasn't really worked out all that great. A few years ago, they made it to the conference finals, and the Warriors just completely blew them out. So I think a lot of people put them on what's known as pay no mind. That's the status setting for the Dallas Mavericks, pay no mind. But I was thinking about this last night. The idea that we have this conversation early in the week about Steph, KD, and LeBron, and how this is the first time since 2005 we're going to get to the second round of the playoffs and none of those guys is going to be there, and how there's a changing of the guard. And then we move the conversation to who's the new face of the NBA. Well, it could be Jokic, but here comes Anthony Edwards. Jalen Brunson's making noise. Tyrese Maxey could be in the mix in a couple years. What the hell happened to Luka? Like, what did we do with Luka? How did we just go from anointing Luka to just moving on from him completely? He's 25 years old. He just turned 25 years old. In his career, he's averaging 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists per game. He's coming off a regular season where he averaged 33 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists per game on 48% shooting. Carlin, like when we're talking about the next face of the NBA, isn't this kind of the guy who was anointed that a few years ago and then has done nothing but produce since then?
So let's see.
He led the league in scoring this year.
Yeah. 4-time All-NBA.
Check.
5-time All-Star.
Check.
The scoring champ, as you just said.
Yep.
And the owner has already called him the best Maverick ever over Dirk. Cuban's already said that. And that's saying something. Because, you know, Dirk Nowitzki has had a ridiculous career.
Dirk got him a title.
Yeah. So I'm looking at all of this, and it is amazing that we kind of are. I don't know. And I'll even go back a little bit further. His greatest achievement as a Maverick so far might have been tightening up the Kyrie ship. Because when Kyrie got there, it was coming off a disastrous spell in Brooklyn that had turned into an absolute nightmare because of Kyrie. So I don't know if it's Luka sitting Kyrie down and saying, hey, we got to focus on basketball here. We got an opportunity to do something because we look at how they've played together this year. It's been fantastic. It's been absolutely fantastic. So I factor all of that in. I don't know why we're not paying more attention.
To your point on Kyrie, and I was thinking about this morning, and I wasn't sure which way I wanted to go on it. Because on one hand, I think it's so unfair that we have destroyed this guy at every turn when he's made a perceived mistake. When he speaks out, when he sits out, the whole situation with the vaccine and all that. We're not going to get into it. We're not going to take sides. We're just highlighting the fact that Kyrie has been a lightning rod for controversy and more specifically criticism throughout the course of his career. Not wanting to play with LeBron in Cleveland and then how it went in Boston and then how it went in Brooklyn. Like all the way around, every time we've had an opportunity to take a shot at Kyrie, we've taken a shot collectively at Kyrie. And then this season, all he's done is play and produce. 58 games this year. He got banged up due to some injury there, obviously, but went out and played at a very high level. 25 points per game. He's shooting 49% from the field. He's been very, very good. He's been, by all accounts, the ultimate teammate. He has not in any way, shape, or form brought any controversy or dysfunction to that franchise that we know of, and yet nothing. No one wants to stand up and say, you know what? This is a great thing. Like, for a guy we bash all the time, this is a great thing. Or, and this is what I went back and forth with, is this him playing nice because I believe the contract situation's coming up?
Well, I don't know if it's full on that because it doesn't feel like that's ever really bothered him before. I would say it's a couple of things. Number one, you arrive in Dallas, Luka's already established as the guy, correct?
Correct.
So Kyrie in that instance kind of has to take a back seat. I blame some of what happened with Kyrie in Brooklyn on Durant, because Durant is the guy that wanted to bring Kyrie in, but Durant is not an alpha. Durant is not somebody that is going to straighten somebody out when they need to be straightened out. And he, as all of that was going on, and the team's kind of looking at Durant like, hey, can you help us out here? Durant's like, no, you guys got it. So I am taking this, and again, this is not personal information, but I assume that a large part of this has had to do with Luka's leadership in Dallas.
That's a big testament to each guy.
Yeah.
Each guy. It looks great.
They both deserve
guys.
Credit. You're right. Big time. I need to give credit to Kyrie for this.
Yeah, but you know what? It's fair. It's okay to do it. I think more people should be.
I totally agree, because he has fit himself into all of that to win.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.